This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Get in the know, nonstop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
You think you like football? Brad Childress doesn't just like football. He loves football.
I did watch him. I was standing right behind him when he was warming up and saw him kind of reach for his groin and, you know, hold it and whatever you do with the groin, rub it. That's what I think I witnessed. It twinged a little bit on him.
We'll never not be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes me so uncomfortable.
We'll never get my head. And I was there for it. My head around Brad Childress giving that much description about a groin.
The word twinge just makes me wonder. What does that mean? It twinged.
I don't like that at all.
Grabbed
twinged.
It?
I think I feel like twinge means it did something on its own without
sure.
you grabbing.
Yeah,
it.
Sure.
It just it.
Yeah,
twinged.
And when's the last time you reached for it or whatever he says, like public?
You know,
adjusted reach.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway,
anywho, yeah.
Anyway, that is the that's a master class in how to make people uncomfortable around you.
Yep.
Well, speaking of making people feel uncomfortable, this is Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zolgad, and Declan Goff, our executive producer, presented by TCL. Enjoy more of what you love with TCL. And boys, today we need to talk about the Vikings kicking situation, okay? So they've spent the entire offseason. They have been loading up the defense. They've been signing every defensive player that you can find in the discount bin, right? Like guys, Patrick Peterson, et cetera. They drafted two potential starting offensive linemen. Kirk feels good going into the year. Justin Jefferson, everyone feels good, right? Clint Kubiak. And now the question is still about the kicking game, which has been a question basically for like three generations of Vikings fans. And we're going to get into why the kicking situation is what it is. Maybe some background into Mike Zimmer and why he feels the way that he does feel about kickers. But I wanted to debut as part of this a new segment. I think we can do this every Tuesday because I love alliteration. Trivia Tuesday, Purple Trivia Tuesday here. The theme today is Vikings kickers, and so I want to give you guys, can work together as a team and see if can find the answer to this question, okay?
Okay.
All right, yeah.
So the Vikings have been kicking footballs through uprights for, over 50 years, franchise history, right?
Yeah, 60-something, yeah.
60 years. Can you name for me the five kickers who have kicked the most balls through uprights in Vikings history, just field goals here. We're looking for field goals. Which five players which five kickers have made the most field goals in Vikings history?
Okay.
So I'm going to go. I'm guessing Gary Anderson's. We're talking out loud, by the way. Gary Anderson's on that list, correct?
Yeah, I'd say Gary Anderson's on that list. Ryan Longwell has to be.
You let me know when you're officially guessing here.
So that's two right there. I would say that probably.
I'll give you three wrong guesses. You get three wrong guesses.
And we're just talking here, Phil. This is among friends. Like, don't you be eavesdropping on us right now. I would say Fred Cox because he kicked here forever, and he was one of their. I don't think he was the original kicker necessarily, but he was here throughout the 60s.
That guy could have named
the 70s.
Adam, and I would have believed that. I've never heard
Fred
of Fred Cox.
Fred Cox invented the Nerf
football.
You've
never heard of Fred Cox?
He invented the Nerf football. You should Google him. You should look him up. You need to educate yourself when it comes to Fred Cox, straight on kicker.
Dude, Fred Cox was like the Vikings kicker for 15 years, all the way through the 70s, too. Invented the Nerf football.
That's awesome. That's badass.
Well, why don't
Nerf
you Google
football.
It? You got to.
Well,
you
I can't do that because then I'm gonna spoil an answer. I'm going to spoil an answer. I didn't know that.
Okay, people, Viking Purple Daily fans in the YouTube comment section, is it warranted for us to destroy Declan here and make fun of him for not knowing who Fred Cox
Declan's
is?
About to be ratioed badly.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Oh, no, and I've been ratioed as well. But, I mean, you are. I think you deserve this one. I think Fred Cox is a name in Viking history that you need to know.
Okay.
How did your old man not teach you about Fred Cox?
I don't know. He always thought Dempsey was a cheater because he had half a foot. Like he thought my dad was very anti Dempsey. I remember that very vividly. He thought he was a cheater.
True story. When I was a kid and he kicked the field goal for the Saints before I started to follow football. But I remember
63-yarder, right? He's original 63-yarder
for the Saints. Yeah. But I remember reading about it in a football history book and seeing the picture, right, of the half foot. And my first thought was, how did that man get his whole foot into a half shoe? Because I didn't read I didn't understand the part that he didn't have a full foot. So I was like, how did that man, like, do all kickers crumble their foot into, like, a boot?
It's very painful.
A boot?
But they make a lot of money.
Yeah. So anyway.
Oh, my God. Okay, anyway, back to the trivia book.
I say Longwell, Anderson, Cox.
Are these official guesses?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, yes.
Okay. All three of those are correct. So there's two left here.
Okay.
And you guys get three incorrect answers, or I win.
Can you give us a hint of where we are with those three on the list?
Why don't you whiff first, and then I'll start giving you hints.
Judd, we do.
I tried, Declan.
This is just talking out loud again. Even though it was a close.
Fred Cox is number one. Cox is number one.
Okay.
So I'll give you that one.
Okay.
I mean, Blair Walsh kicked here from, 2012 to 2016.
Yep.
He was cut in 2016, correct? I believe, it was week 12 in 2016.
During the course
I mean, that's
year,
still 4 years of field goals. Like, even though we had the colossal mistake against the Seahawks and how his career extremely derailed shortly afterwards, that's 4 to 5 years of some field goals.
All right.
I wouldn't be surprised if he rounds things off.
All right, hold on a second. Now, that's not an official guess. I sort of like that. The kicker when I was a kid was a straight-on guy by the name of Rick Danmeyer, who I feel like kicked here for quite some time after Fred Cox.
Never heard of him, but I believe you.
Missed a field goal against the Packers in Green Bay in, I believe, a godforsaken 10-10 tie that would have won the game. And as a small child, I was very upset by that. But anyway, so you're saying Walsh maybe, Danmeyer.
Judd being a small child is actually the big thing.
Well, I shouldn't say that. I was a big kid, but I was young in years. Are there any other kickers since 2000 who would have been prolific that we're missing?
I mean, no. It was like Gary, Morton, Anderson, Aaron Elling.
Well, they kept changing it. And Tice was Zim before Zim because he screwed up kickers too.
I like how I just crapped
Paul Edinger.
Yeah, I crapped on Judd for not knowing 70s kickers, and I just name dropped no problem Aaron Elling.
Aaron Elling.
Like, oh, great.
Do you remember in training camp when they, I think they drafted him, right? Tice would walk. So the story was that in order to try and intimidate and create an in-game atmosphere, Tice would walk in training camp in front of Elling right before the snap came. And talk.
I love it, man.
Hey, you going to make this? Hey,
I love these coaches.
It's so Tice.
PJ Fleck does this stuff too. I love the coaches that will just dump a bucket of water on the holder as the ball's being snapped or blow an air horn in the kicker's ear. I'm all for it, man.
All right, Judd.
These guys are mentally tough.
So you're saying Walsh. I said maybe Danmeyer. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else in the 80s who was here for a long time or the 90s who we are. Oh, you know what? Fouad Reves was here for a while.
Actually, that does ring a bell in Declan's brain. That rings us a slight bell.
Okay.
I couldn't pick him out of a crowd.
Official guess, Fouad.
Official guess.
Okay. So now it's down to
four.
I think it's down to one of these two we'd have, and Blair and the other guy.
Just talking among friends here again. Earmuffs.
Well, you get three wrong answers. I suppose you want to run the table.
We want to run the table.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah.
We're winners.
Mm-hmm.
Winner, 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 loser.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to tell you this. All right. Fred Cox is number one. Ryan Longwell is number two. Fuad Revez is number three. Gary Anderson's five. You're looking for number four
so,
here.
So do you think Blair Walsh made more field goals than Gary Anderson? But Anderson was here from 97 to like 2000.
He actually wasn't here that long. So okay. Like you've got.
All right, then I think it's Blair. I think it's Blair Walsh. Blair Walsh.
Go ahead, Dex. I'm done for today. That's awesome. Nice work. Okay, that's really good. So Blair Walsh is four.
Oh my!
And God. By the way, and hopefully, I don't know, you guys are kind of pixelating for me, so hopefully I'm still here. But
no, you're
Rick Danmeyer is sixth. So you guys nailed all of this. Rick Danmeyer was just outside the top five. Dan Bailey, seventh. If you're wondering about Vikings kicking history, Bailey is seventh on this list.
Oh, my God. Okay.
And so that Vikings Tuesday trivia presented by Declan, our friends at the 3M Open.
Take a bow. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dude.
I was
Dex is going to be maybe out there walking around celebrating his Vikings trivia Tuesday win.
I want you to come in tomorrow knowing who Fred Cox is, though.
Okay.
Like, to know your Vikings history, you got to know Fred Cox.
For sure. Okay. Yeah, and I'll tell you, most kickers are also good golfers. I mean, kicking is basically golfing in football and like shoulder pads and a helmet, right?
What Longwell said.
Yeah. So you know some of those guys are going to be out at TPC Twin Cities. Tickets are available at 3MOpen.com/tickets. Fans are very much welcome and encouraged to get loud, bring your golf gear, and just get festive. Maybe enjoy an adult beverage or two. It's time to be a fan at TPC Twin Cities, July 19th to the 25th, 3MOpen.com/tickets. All right. So
You like that?
The Vikings kicking situation is bleeped always, right? And it's the thing that, like, they can fix the defense, they can fix the offense, and Kirk can look great. And ultimately, it comes down to whether Dan Bailey is going to have a mental breakdown inside Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, right? Absolutely. Or whether Blair Walsh decides he's going to miss a 27-yarder from point-blank range to put the Vikings into the next round of the playoffs. So we're always just on the verge of a nervous kicker breakdown here. And Mike Zimmer doesn't help that. Mike Zimmer brings a nervous energy, sort of just an annoyed demeanor when it comes to kickers. Dan Bailey was once one of the best, most accurate kickers in the NFL. He melted down. Blair Walsh was 10 for 10 from 50 yards as a rookie. He melted down. Daniel Carlson, like all these guys, right? Where does that come from, that nervous energy? Declan has a clip here. This is Adam Vinatieri on Pat McAfee's show. And remember, Bill Parcells was Mike Zimmer and still remains Mike Zimmer's main mentor. Is that fair to say? Like, Mike Zimmer is a modern-day Bill Parcells protege.
They still talk a ton.
So there's a couple notes here before we get to this clip. From an Associated Press write-up recently, Adam Vinatieri started the 1996 season by missing four of his first six field goal attempts with, I believe it was with the Patriots when Bill Parcells was coaching the Patriots. Then coach Bill Parcells considered cutting him for missing four of his first six field goal attempts. Sound familiar? Daniel Carlson literally got cut for like the same thing. But the rookie saved his job with a 31-yarder into the wind and rain with 36 seconds left in a 31-0 victory over Arizona. So he almost got cut right away. Mm-hmm. Here's another clip of Vinatieri talking about Bill Parcells.
He tried to make it as difficult as he could for me, challenged me pretty much every day. There was a lot of times where, you know, the team was going to do no conditioning or maybe double conditioning, depending on if, hey, Vinatieri, run out there and kick this 50-yarder. If he makes it, there's no conditioning. If he misses it, we're doing twice as much kind of stuff. And he would stand in my kicking spot, or he would purposely get in my way when we were doing stuff. But I, in a weird way, I really appreciated that because it just added extra pressure.
So Bill Parcells, and there's more to that interview too, but Bill Parcells constantly just annoyed by the existence of kickers and Adam Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
So to what degree do you think Mike Zimmer is negatively impacting the Vikings kicking situation the last 7 years? And what is your DEFCON panic level of Greg Joseph being potentially the Vikings starting kicker going into a win now year?
Well, one is there. You can't go through a list that includes Walsh, Forbath. So not young, but not old in Walsh. Forbath, veteran. Carlson, rookie. Bailey, veteran. What do they have in common? They were all deemed not acceptable by this team, and especially probably by the head coach, to be the kicker for the Vikings. And so I think that there is no question in all seriousness, that you have to put a lot of blame on the coach. For whatever reason, he poisons the well when it comes to that position and has, congratulations, ruined young and old there. I mean, it doesn't matter. So here's what I don't get, though. One of the things, Brad Childress did a lot of things wrong, but one of the things he did really well in 2006 when he got the job was, given the ability to sign guys, he went out and signed Ryan Longwell and said, I don't want to have to worry about this position. I'm going to get a mentally stable guy who's not quirky, who is, for the most part, reliable as hell. He's going to go through some slumps. They all do. But I'm going to take care of this position from day one. Because you know what? I don't want to lose football games because of my kicker. And he probably said that because, like most coaches, he hates the position, which is fine. But, I mean, that where you should fall then is, let's solve it ASAP and as well as we possibly can, so that we don't have to concern ourselves when we worked our ass off all week to prepare for the Cowboys and some guy who is 5'9", 175 blows it. So Zimmer should do the same. And instead, and they've tried, I mean, Bailey seemingly, I think, was going to be the answer, completely blew up. And the problem that we have right now, guys, is we are talking, and rightfully so, we're talking about, man, the Vikings, look at the retooled defense, right? Like, they've done a really nice job at cornerback. They went out and got guys. You don't know what's going to work for sure, but they definitely are giving themselves a much better chance than last year. Offensively, you don't know it's going to work for sure, but they go out and they draft high in the draft a couple of O linemen, and you say, okay, with the talent that you've got skill position-wise on offense, this should be improved. Like, yay for the Vikings. They've done a lot of good things. And what we're not talking about is Greg Joseph. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bailey cost you a game in Tampa by himself last year. Like, that loss is on it. It ultimately could have been, I'm sure, a better game by the offense and defense. But that game was cost you by your kicker. And Greg Joseph, look at his career. Look at, he's barely kicked. He has barely kicked. He was on the amazing Buccaneers. He was a protected player. The Vikings' selling point in signing him was the Buccaneers, Super Bowl champion Buccaneers, protected him on their practice squad last year in case something happened to their primary kicker. So I really think that this is a story that we're ignoring, and we shouldn't be. I don't understand the mentality of going out and signing this guy and clearly crossing your fingers that he's going to be good.
It is weird. I mean, I would almost just rather have Dan Bailey back. And I know that he melted down, but like, if you weren't going to cut him immediately after the Tampa game, which, bravo to Mike Zimmer and company showing amazing restraint, not cutting Dan Bailey in that moment. And I don't know, like, what were you supposed to do? Cut him and then just bring, like, who was available? I guess.
Well, they brought in guys after that.
Well, to
they did
to work
bring
out
in guys to, yeah. But yeah, they signed a guy, right? I thought they signed a guy to their practice squad then. But sure, yeah, they didn't cut him.
They may
immediately
have, yeah. So I guess if they made the decision to not cut Dan Bailey in that moment, and your choice now going into 2021, and maybe some of it was salary related, I guess I haven't even seen if Dan Bailey's latched on with a team. But would you rather just have Dan Bailey back than Greg Joseph? The only experience Greg Joseph has kicking field goals in an NFL game is 2018 in Cleveland. And he wasn't terrible. Like, he went 17 of 20 in Cleveland, but he did miss 4 of 29 extra points. He was only 86% on extra points. And that was literally the only time we've seen him kick field goals. Now, he played for Tennessee in 2019, and he was 9 for 9 on extra points. So he's 90% career on extra points and 85% career in field goals. But that's it. Like, we haven't seen him. And by the way, Cleveland in 2018, not exactly a lot of pressure field goals for that team, okay? You're mostly kicking from behind. There was no expectations. It just seems odd that you would go into a win now, Super Bowl on the horizon as your goal season, and you're just like, oh, let's try this Greg Joseph guy, yes, see what happens. You know, it's just weird.
Can you explain to me, so of the kickers that I went through who have kicked here during the time that Mike has been here since he was hired in 2014, here's the one I'd like to focus on. Now, the Carlson thing is inexcusable. Like, they ruined him immediately. He's since gone on to the Raiders, and he's kicked well.
Yep.
But let's talk about Kai Forbath, okay? Call up the career. Google the career of Kai Forbath through his time here. And I know that he struggled a little bit on extra points, okay? A lot of guys do now. Don't know exactly why, but they do. But Kai Forbath made a huge field goal that allowed the Minneapolis Miracle to occur. Mm-hmm. Kai Forbath, I thought, was about as solid as you can be with Mike breathing down your neck as a kicker. And he was deemed not acceptable. And I don't understand who didn't, like, stop Mike at that point and say, no, you know what? This is actually, this guy's fine. He's not costing us games. He makes key field goals at times. His field goal kicking percentage, I believe, was actually pretty damn good as a Viking. What was the need to jettison him?
The extra points. It was the extra points. I think extra that was points. The biggest, yeah. Honestly.
Right, but
it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't
right, but I'm saying that
it.
Part doesn't make sense. Like correct. The Carlson thing, the fact that Rick was allowed to draft a kicker and bring him in and plop him in Mike's lap is one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. Like, and Carlson's been fine since then, but we predicted the night of that pick. This ain't going to work. Mike doesn't have the patience for this.
Yeah. Kai Forbath missed 10 extra points between 2016 and 2020. A couple of those years, like the Jaguars in 18 and the Rams last year, he was only kicking in a couple of games. So his last full season in the NFL was 2017. I also think there's like he doesn't have the strongest leg. He's only attempted 2 field goals from beyond 50 yards since 2017. He was pretty good from beyond 50 yards in 2017. But ultimately, like, you bring up Ryan Longwell from the 2009, like, whatever it was for him, 2005 or 2006 through 2012. I don't care as much about the 50-plus yard field goals.
Correct.
You should be going for it more often from that range than you should be kicking field goals.
Yes.
You know, unless it's, you know, 4th and 12 or something. So I want the Vikings to be more aggressive going for it in that gray area. And find a kicker who's reliable inside 50 yards. And if Kai Forbath, you know, Greg Joseph might have a bigger leg. Okay, but if Kai Forbath is accurate inside 50 yards or a Kai Forbath equivalent, and the extra points are annoying, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the Vikings in 2017, he missed 5 extra points all year.
Mm-hmm.
That's annoying. It's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Those 5 points aren't costing you a lot. They're not. Like, there might be certain situations where, you know, it altered a game here or there, but I'm looking for a guy that can make field goals first and foremost. And so we're just using Kai Forbath as an example. But sometimes these teams get so caught up in, like, the big leg. I need a guy that can attempt one from 67 yards. It's like, sorry.
But Mike needs to be managed himself when it comes to this spot. Because this spot, and I know football people hate this, is absolutely key. Like, you can't screw around here. And he also did the one thing last year that I think we talked to Ryan about, and, you know, he said drove him crazy, was the fact when Mike cut the long snapper and brought in a new long snapper, which screws up the chemistry with the entire unit. Like, that's not something that you just do lightly. And that's why I've never understood. It's like, you know what, Mike, you coach defense, you try and weigh in on offense. You're the head coach. That's cool. But when it comes to special teams, what are you doing here? Cause these people will cost you games. Like, you will work your butt off. You will do all of this film work. And ultimately a guy with his foot or a bad snap or a bad hold will cost you games. And why would you want to contribute to that problem? But I'm with you, Phil, completely. The leg thing to me, that's the least of my concerns. Here's what I want. I want a guy who makes field goals from, let's say, 25 yards to 49 yards. Can you make those field goals? If so, you know what? I'd much prefer you to a guy who, he nailed one from 55 and he just missed 3 more.
Yeah. One more note on Kai Forbath, by the way. So he's only 33 years old, which is kind of amazing. And he is 8th all-time in field goal make percentage behind Mike Vanderjagt, Robbie Gould. Most of these guys are still active here. Will Lutz, Chris Boswell, Josh Lambeau, Harrison Butker, and love Justin Tucker.
Fun fact, I went out drinking with Kai Forbath when he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings one night. So I've seen Kai Forbath out and about.
You've been out drinking with a few Vikings, Declan.
A few Vikings players, yeah. Yeah, Kai was out there.
What was his beverage
of
choice?
If I remember correct, I think it was Vodka Tonic. Or a gin and tonic. It was clear.
Okay. Odd guy
clear.
Or not.
He does
weird
seem like a
guy.
Because he wore the weird, like, he wore no socks and some type of sandals or something on the road, right?
Yeah.
He wore
weird.
Yeah, he's not
weird,
wearing
dude. Like was wearing like classic kicker was wearing like, you know, like those soccer like weird tight Adidas pants that like they're not leggings, but they're like they're probably the closest things. Like I shouldn't talk. Cause I wear skinny black jeans 7 days a week, so I'm not trying to poke fun. But he like wore those out like soccer pants out to the bar, which I thought was
showing some ankle.
Yeah, he's probably just, you know, really swallowing that calf, like wanted to show that calf off, I'm sure. But in terms of like the DEFCON levels is what we said earlier with the kicking. So like DEFCON 5, that's lowest level preparedness. DEFCON 1 is nuclear war is imminent. The world is going to explode. I'm probably at DEFCON 3, which is mobilize the Air Force in 15 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Like I'm not nuclear war is not, we're okay. It's a kicker. Like kickers can't necessarily cause a nuclear war. I look at quarterback.
It depends on the coach that you're talking about too.
But I'm ready to scramble the Jets, no pun intended, in the next 15 minutes if something goes wrong. That is where I'm at with Greg Joseph. He hasn't kicked a field goal in 3 years.
I mean, where I'm at with this thing is there is no way that Greg Joseph is going to be trustworthy at any point this season in my mind. And it's not even like he could come in and he could get off to a hot start, but based on everything I have seen too much in my life watching this franchise. I have seen Hall of Fame kickers like Gary Anderson be reduced to puddles. Rookie of the year special teamers like Blair Walsh, who made 10 of 10 50 yarders, unable to even... Well, it was cold outside, so dull. I guess he gets a somewhat of a building excuse, but like unable to function when faced with a 27-yarder. So there's really nothing Greg Joseph can do all year to make me feel comfortable if and when he lines up for like a 35-yarder to tie a game in the first or second round of the playoffs. I will be chewing my fingernails off regardless.
And drinking heavily.
And it's not necessarily his fault. So, yeah.
This is among the first guest list going into the 2021 season, this is atop it. I think a year ago, it was cornerbacks because they were so certain of their young core there. And I think we all said, really, are you that certain? This now to me, like this team's done a lot of things right. They've done a lot of things right. I like what they've done. I don't know that it will all work, but I think their efforts have been put into the right place. This one, first guess, this is a bad idea. And it's a bad idea because of the coach. And you know what? The one thing that we've learned about this team is there's clearly not enough separation between coach, coordinator, and player. So if Mike doesn't like you, the special teams coordinator can't stop that. He can't be like, Mike, go away. No, I mean, Mike's going to. So this, I am convinced that young Greg Joseph is being set up to fail badly. They should have cleared some cap room and sign the best available veteran, mentally strong guy that you possibly can. Because if you can ruin Dan Bailey, you can go a long way down the food chain of ruining guys who you would think would be mentally stronger.
I'm trying to find a list here. I want to know who are the available for. I will find this. I want to know who are the available free agent kickers that we're inevitably going to be talking about when Judd goes and watches a training camp practice in about 3 weeks and tracks. Greg Joseph was
gonna miss
4 of 9 in the
I told you
media
guys,
portion of
I told
practice.
You guys it happened. It happened during the last camp last week when I was watching the Vikings offense operate against the defense. And from the center field, which was to my right at TCO, I heard a thud. Greg Joseph hitting the goalpost. So it's already begun.
So I think this might be somewhat updated, but Steven Gostkowski, I believe, is available if you want a 37-year-old formerly trusted kicker.
Yeah, but he.
I think Dan Bailey is also still available.
Yeah, Dan Bailey's still out there. He ain't coming back. I'd rather be retired.
Zane Gonzalez also appears to still be available. These are all guys I remember from the last round of every fantasy football draft the last couple of years. So.
Yeah, Gostkowski
is available. That was kind of David Akers. Kicker wore two gloves. I always loved that he wore two gloves.
David Akers was
a kicker that needs to wear two gloves. Yeah,
maybe he has poor circulation. His hands, his fingertips get cold.
Darn it.
Well, just one last thing on this. Ryan Longwell came on the show. I don't know. I think it was actually might have been on this show right after Dan Bailey's meltdown, and I remember him saying there's just a certain way, like these dudes are golfers who are wearing shoulder pads and they just have to be treated and coached differently. I mean, they need mental coaches more than they need like mechanical,
yes,
physical coaches, right? And scheming coaches. And NFL coaches are not all one breed. Like there's some thinking man's coaches, but they're very like it's a rough and tumble. It's about brute force and schemes and whatnot. And like, if you're a kicker, sometimes you just need a psychologist. Really? Like when Dan Bailey is lining up to do something he has done his whole life, basically like Dan Bailey's 30 and he's been kicking footballs through uprights for probably half of his life, mm-hmm. right? I don't know when he first started, but probably sometime in high school. And he gets out on that field in Tampa Bay. He doesn't have a pulled hamstring. He doesn't have, you know, it's not like he lost a step or something and can't beat a cornerback on a route. He's having a mental breakdown on a football field and can't focus. That's what's happening. And I've always wondered, why don't the Vikings approach Ryan Longwell? He's interested in doing it. He's flat out told us, like, I know they've had Nate Kading in as a kicking consultant, but why not have a guy like Longwell just around all the time to work on kicking mentality and being able to get over a bad miss, right? Because that seems to be the biggest problem. Mike Zimmer has no desire to hold a kicker's hand and be like, hey, man, it's okay. Hey, we still love you. Like, you're still our guy.
Right.
He piles on, it seems.
Right, but the problem is that unless Mike agreed not to pile on, I think it's tough because, I mean, it's clear that Mike doesn't help at all. Like, the kicker job comes down to, I think, to football-y football people, this, do your job. Make the field goal. Like, they don't see the nuance. They football. Don't see because football is a brute sport, right? I mean, we game plan and then we hit each other and the kicker's like, hey guys, here I am to kick a field goal, which by the way is incredibly important. And I don't think that Mike has any sympathy. And so the problem is, like, Ryan, I think, would be outstanding, but Mike would have the ability to undo all of that really quickly. And that's the thing about this is outside of defense, you guys, think about this. Outside of the area of expertise that Zimmer has, when it comes to offense, right? Quarterback play, right? Kickers, right? What does he do? He makes people very nervous, and he's got a lot of opinions. But they're opinions. They're not really probably founded in what's best for the players. And so I think that's the problem. And so you would literally need Mike to just back off, and I don't think Mike's capable of that.
Yeah. I am looking at some of these other free agents. So Zane Gonzalez, for example, he's at least more of a veteran than Greg Joseph, but he's only made 78% of his career field goals. He's missed a couple extra points.
It's not good now. I'm sure the list is awful now.
Younghoe Koo was with Atlanta last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dan Bailey is still out there. So whatever happened to Steven Gostkowski?
Went to Tennessee, right? Struggled big time. I think Vrabel didn't cut him after he missed. He cost them a game, I want to say, last year. And Vrabel didn't cut him. He made a few field goals here, but yeah, it got rough.
He was 18 of 26 last year.
Yeah.
Only 5 of 10 from 40 to 49
yards.
Yeah,
he's not the guy now.
He was once a really good kicker for New England. He also, yeah, he's missed 6 extra points the last couple of years with New England and Tennessee.
But how do you not, but my point being, how do you not go out if you're Spielman and Zim years ago and find a veteran guy and say, this is just our guy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's maybe Greg Joseph is the guy.
I always
maybe
told
we're
you
being too long, Greg.
I Joseph, always told you, Phil, Seabass was my guy because he was
insane.
He would have been drunk. He would have smoked. And he would have told Zim, get out of my face.
I feel like people have revisionist history. Wasn't he terrible for a few years, but they just kept him around because they paid him such a ridiculous amount?
Probably.
Like, yeah, he went through a stretch in his prime where he was 20 of 30, 18 of 25, 23 of 32.
I like the mentality.
But he had a huge leg, and he made more money than any other kicker.
He roofied himself once.
He seems like the...
He passed out in a bar because he roofied himself. He took...
We're all looking to spice things up in life.
He took Rohypnol.
He seems like a guy would be smoking a cigarette on the sidelines.
That's my point. That's what I want.
Yeah, me too.
That's what Zim needs.
So, okay, real quick before we wrap. So he's 43 years old, Sebastian Janikowski now. He has not kicked in an NFL game since 2018 with Seattle. Would you rather have 43-year-old Sebastian Janikowski or Greg Joseph for the full season? You have to commit right now. Give me Seabass.
I think I'm taking Seabass, dude.
Give me Seabass.
You know what? Go for it on PATs.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Go for just it. Go.
You know what? That should have been the four-bat thing. You know, Kai, we're going to go for it a lot. Go for two.
Yeah, well, that's what they should do this year. Just be more aggressive. All right, we got to go. We got to go.
We got
to
go.
Do we really have to go already?
Yes.
This has been fun. I'm panicked.
We are running. The executive producer is panicking as it is right now. Yes, we got to go.
All right, we got to go. Right. That's a wrap on this episode. Thanks to Federated for helping power this thing. Federated, been around for over 100 years. They also are masochistic Minnesota sports fans just like us, and they can help your business. And you can find a full list of industries Federated protects at federatedinsurance.com to find out if your business matches their expertise. Probably does. And remember, at Federated, it's our business to protect yours. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Write that down tomorrow on Purple Daily.